turn. I turned. Part of me was pointing at the ceiling, but after having a good look, she paid no more attention. The massage continued, as it had before, finding and easing pain points, starting with my temples, and moving all the way down to my feet. The energy moves came next, and her hands were everywhere on the way up and down, and finally she jumped up onto the table and once again lay down on top of me and used her body to massage mine. Only it wasn't final. She stopped moving, sitting around my hips and laying across me, her face by mine, and kissed me. It was long and passionate, tongues touched, and ended when she needed air. I thought I was about to pass out. She smiled at me, seemed to wiggle her hips a bit, and suddenly I realized I was inside her. She raised herself up, pulled my hands to her breasts, and guided them over her skin and nipples. When they grew much larger, she moved my hands down to where she and I joined, and my fingers went around me where I touched her. She pushed my hands up over my head and left them there, while her body began moving in a way I didn't think was possible. But who can think when sensations you were completely unaware of dominated your awareness, and suddenly I felt myself explode inside her? She must have felt it too, because she lowered herself down onto me again, and we lay there for a while, me still inside her. She kissed me again, drew herself off me, climbed down from the table, pulled me up and off, and we did the whole shower thing again. Dry once again, she pulled me to the bed. With a grin, she started massaging me again. 39. "How was it?" asked Leah, grinning the following day, not long after Wei Lin and the other girls had left.
"How was what?"
"Whatever you and Wei Lin got up to, of course."
"We had a nice chat."
"All night?"
"Most of it."
She looked at me with a shocked expression. I looked back at her impassively. I wasn't lying, since once we'd made it to the bed, we had talked a lot. She'd turned out to be a very interesting person, and we'd talked about a wide range of things. She was a very good teacher as well.
"Pretty well."
Her expression changed to disbelief. "No, you're having me on." I grinned at her.
"Well, partly. We did do a lot of talking between, well, other things."
"Enjoyable things?"
"Very."
"Good." We sat in silence for a while.
"How much do I owe you?" I finally said, after failing to think of a more diplomatic way of putting it.
I'd assumed we had to pay for the visit, since I'd seen net ads for similar services back in what now seemed like a previous life. I'd never been in a position to take advantage before, either. I was well aware of how negatively such services were viewed by many, but there was no denying the benefits of the massage part of the service and how enjoyable the rest was. For those without a partner, especially those constantly on the move, as I now seemed to be, the service was exactly what was needed. Or at least, that's how it felt to me right now.
"Nothing. We all added extra to cover yours as a thank you for rescuing us. Don't get me wrong, we all needed it after what we've been through. One of the reasons we came here and not somewhere else was Deirdre. She knows what we've been through and what the body and mind needs to get past the trauma."
"Oh." She looked at me for a moment.
"You won't see any of us much for the next couple of days. Deirdre has shrinks coming to see us. With what we have in front of us now, it's important we get our heads sorted. We need to go into battle without victim mentality and emotion clouding our judgment. Jenna especially, since oddly enough, with her not actually being sold, hers are the worst mental scarring. Do you need a session?"
Her question threw me.
"No, I don't think so."
"Okay, think about it, and if you do, let me know.
Did you enjoy yourself last night?
I did.
Thanks. Well, that was thank you sex from Jen and Jess, albeit at second hand.
She was very good with her second hand.
I bet she was. Mine was, too. She stopped to chuckle. I don't consider my debt to you paid yet. I've something else in mind, but it has to wait until we get to another system.
Hint?
You'll like it, I promise you.
That's not much of a hint.
All the hint you're getting. Anyway, my shrink will be here shortly, so see you in a couple of days.
She rose and walked to the door, where she turned.
Did you peek at me at all last night?
Hell no.
Well, you missed out.
She left, but her grin seemed to hang in the air without her. I spent most of the day observing the unloading of our cargo, since no one else was around to do it. The containers and pallets were automated, but some of the boxes needed a personal touch when someone came for them. Early afternoon, though, a man came up to me.
You're Thorn?
I nodded. I'm John. Leah said you didn't need to talk to someone, but we thought I'd drop in on you and find out for sure.
You're a shrink?
If you need the label, yes. My job is looking for negative thought patterns and helping people change them back to positive ones.
I think I'm fairly positive. Thanks all the same.
What will you do when you confront the men who raped Leah?
I'm not sure yet. Hang them up by their balls, probably.
He laughed. A negative thought process presented positively.
I'm pretty positive those bastards won't be getting a pat on the head.
How do you feel about Jenna's rapist?
More of the same. Actually, it's the murder of her parents which bugs me more.
Why is that?
Because it wasn't necessary. It was ordered by someone who wanted to cause pain to Jenna, pain beyond just removing her from his plans.
How do you know it was a him?
This brought me up short. But seed sown, I considered why it could be a woman.
You mean some scorned female having revenge?
Yes.
No. It all started with how good she was at her job, unless I'm missing something. It tends to be men who get upset when challenged by a woman.
Oddly, this seems to be universal. I'd seen the behavior in both my second life home and among the trainees in my first life. Funny how third life seemed to sum up now.
And yet, across time and space, the patterns were the same.
I wouldn't have thought you old enough to know that sort of thing. Military is military, wherever and whenever you are.
Would you like to explain that?
It's a long story.
I have the time.
I told him my whole story, including some of the events of my training years. I'm not sure he believed it all, but we talked for the rest of the afternoon, interrupted occasionally by a box pickup. By the time he left, he told me he was confident I had no lingering emotional issues. He also told me to look at least once since the offer was there. I laughed him out. An hour or so later, Wei Lin turned up again, much to my surprise. We had dinner together and repeated a lot of the night before. At one point, her pad beeped, so she padded naked across the room to check it.
Leah says you can peek now.
I sighed. I'd never met a girl who actually wanted a male to look at her naked before. Wei dropped down beside me again and began a very specific massage.
You better. I think she'll be disappointed in you if you don't. I don't quite understand what she's wanting you to do, but doing it is the best option.
Okay. Keep doing what you're doing. I lay back, and even with hands and tongue distracting me, cast my sight to Leah's stateroom. It was empty. I moved to the bathroom, and there in the shower was a naked Leah and another girl I didn't know. They were entwined, kissing each other passionately, and obviously enjoying each other's bodies. As if she knew she was being watched, Leah dragged the other girl out, quickly toweled them both dry, and threw her down on the bed.
They re-entwined. I quickly saw every bit of both girls' bodies and what they were doing to each other. As a straight male, there was something wrong about what they were doing, but also as a straight male, what they were doing was very arousing. As their lovemaking became more intense, I stopped looking and brought my awareness back to what Wei was doing. She seemed to sense I was back. "What were you doing?" "It's a bit like watching a vid, only there's no screen and it's live." "You can do that? It's sort of a mind gift I was born with." "So you could actually see Leah and her companion?" "Yes." "Did you like what you saw?" "Two girls together doesn't seem right to me, but I guess, yes." "You liked it." "How can you tell? I stopped touching and you didn't notice, but still, there's this."
"You better do something with it then."
She did. Later, we talked about love in the abstract. "Take love wherever it is offered, my young thorn. You never know when it will be the last time." She wasn't that much older than me, but I guess her experience was vastly beyond mine. "Thank you for offering." She giggled. I had the impression Leah had organized tonight as well. As it turned out, it was also for the next night, too. 40. Six ships ambushed us two jumps later. They fired within seconds of us appearing. I wondered why they were so far away, though, since even I could figure out a few seconds' flying time would guarantee a kill, where being a minute away would not. If I was staking out a jump point, and I knew when the target ship was coming through, I'd be sitting as close as I could get and not jump, so the target had no time to react. Thinking back, though, none of those hitting us had been all that close. Or maybe it was missiles were not all that fast, but this couldn't be so, could it? My thoughts were interrupted.
"What the hell are they doing?" yelled Jenna.
"Firing on us," I said, since there seemed to be a need to state the obvious.
"They're military," exclaimed Jess.
I took a peek. The view on the bridge of the first one was so surprising, I checked the rest.
"Were?"
"What?" "There seem to be two crews on board each ship. The ones in uniforms are all dead."
"Pirates took a small squadron?" asked Leah.
"How?" echoed Jess. "What should I do?" I asked. We had less than 30 seconds before the first missiles hit us.
"Wipe the missiles as usual," said Jenna. "But how accurate can you be if you redirect them?"
"What do you want?" I wiped away the missiles coming at us. If she wanted something else, it wouldn't be with these ones. Not enough time left.
"Missiles hitting airlocks. Rather than destroying the ships, I'd like to leave them here for someone to find, so everyone knows these military were taken.
So damage them enough to kill everyone on them, but leave them basically intact?"
"Yes."
I did one better. Over the next 3 salvos, I used my force punch to hole each ship in key places, killing the crews through explosive decompression, and sent a missile in to make it look like it was missile damage. I had to wipe away more than half of them each time, but as each ship took hits, the number coming at us decreased. It took a lot longer to do than it takes to describe, and I was drawing on a lot of energy, but oddly, there was no sign of a migraine beginning. It gave me some perspective on my force punch ability and made me wonder when I was first training or losing my temper, I was inadvertently drawing on some energy source I didn't know was there. I'd been knocking down walls with my raw ability, after all, and no one else I knew had been tasked that way, which at the time hadn't occurred to me, but now seemed to indicate I'd had either more raw power than anyone else I was training with, or, as seemed more likely now, I'd been drawing on some sort of energy source even then. As unlikely as it seemed, given what I was using now wasn't even a mad dream back then. Or maybe enough magic users in one place created a magic energy store of some kind, and I'd tapped it without knowing. I'd probably never know for sure. The resulting mess in space was far enough from where ships jump in, so there was no need to do anything to warn future ships. Jenna had us on course for the next station as soon as the last ship stopped firing. "Do we want cargoes?" I asked. "No," said Jenna. "Leave everything exactly as it is. If the pirates removed anything, I want it to be obvious it was them to whoever finds them." "How are we going to explain this?" asked Jess. "No need to. No other ship was in range to see what happened. If we get asked, we jumped in to find 6 derelict ships and assumed someone else had reported them already. Close enough to the truth, and our logs show we haven't fired any missiles if anyone looks, so it can't have been us destroying them."
"Works for me," said Leah.
I was a little disappointed about not being able to test Leah's new display. We'd been working on a cargo display which showed me in real time where the empty slots were, so I didn't need to ask in future. As I moved a container or pallet, even a box, the display would update, and all I had to do was include the free spot to move to as part of the intent of the move. Next time. As it turned out, what worked for Leah didn't work at all. When we picked up the local news feed, it was led with a lot of hype over a military squadron going missing, with calls for anyone knowing their whereabouts to let the local military office know. There was a quick debate, and Jenna sent off a message telling them there were 6 derelict ships at the jump point we'd come in from, but she made a point of not putting her name on the message, just the ship's name. The obvious hope was the ship would be unknown to whoever received the message, where Jenna's name was more likely to be. Jess saw the confusion on my face and explained Jenna's resignation had received a lot of media hype at the time, especially since no reasons were given and no interviews happened to satisfy either the media or the public. Apparently, up-and-coming junior officers didn't just up and quit on a whim. There was no such luck on remaining unknown. The reply came directed at Jenna, including her rank when she quit the service, and not the ship.
"Sons of bitches!" exclaimed Jenna on reading it.
"What?" asked Jess.
"I'm listed as an active reserve officer."
"How can they do that?" asked Leah.
"It's in the regs. Once an officer, always an officer, and they can call you back as a reserve any time they want, as long as there's a good reason for it. It's normal in wartime, but the last time I checked, there wasn't an active war, just the usual border skirmishes."
"Do you know the reason? I didn't even get a bloody notification."
"Better check the fine print on your discharge," I suggested.
"The hell with them!" Jenna was now showing her temper. "They don't get to sideline my career, discharge me, and then call me back up, not when it's all mixed in with piracy and slavery."
The response she sent made it quite clear Jenna considered herself to be a private citizen, and included mentioning she'd had no notification of being called back, even as a reservist. She even suggested exactly where they could go if they tried to recall her. Like water off a duck's back, her whole response was ignored. All they wanted was an officer's assessment of the condition of the ships. She told them they were, quote, shot up, unquote, and if they wanted more details, they should go look for themselves. They told her to go back and make a decent assessment. She told them precisely which hell they could go to. The rest of us sat watching the exchange of messages, grinning and making suggestions. Eventually, they gave up trying, and we continued on towards the station. Sometime later, a military courier ship shot past us. Thinking it was the last of it, we all went back to what we were doing before the jump. It wasn't the last of it.
41. There's military uniforms at the dock.
How many? Asked Jenna.
13.
One seems to be an officer and is unarmed. The others are armed to the teeth. What's the insignia on the officer's shoulders? I had no idea what it was, so I described it. Major, said Jess. For a station like this, probably the CO for the local recruiting office. I kept both my confusion and curiosity in check. I'd never felt the need to look up anything to do with the military out here. What had happened to Jenna was enough to put me off. A military which condoned rape was something to be avoided. But suddenly, lack of knowledge left me struggling to understand what was happening. Jenna continued docking, and no one spoke again until after the docking clamps engaged. "We'd better all go to the airlock, then," said Jenna. "Armed. There is no way in this cosmos I'm going back in, and they're not going to try." "I'll get the guns," said Jess. Before she could move, I dropped a gun belt in front of each of them, and my own on the seat next to me. "Thanks, Thorne. Meet us at the airlock, please." "On my way." I took a detour past the armory. I carefully selected 3 heavy weapons, 1 each for the girls, and placed them at the wall beside the airlock. I was last to arrive, of course, as a result. No one said anything, though. They had the heavy guns in their arms and were making sure they were ready to fire. Before opening the airlock, Jenna pressed a button, and a view of outside came up on a screen. "Not the local CO," she muttered. "Explains the courier ship, though," said Jess. "You know him?" I asked. "He's a troubleshooter," said Jenna. "Works out of the regional naval office, even though he's not Navy." "Interesting. They only send him when someone else has already failed." There was silence for a full minute. "Hadn't you better find out what he wants?" I asked. Jenna rounded on me. "Don't tell me what to do." She sighed, and her face eased into something a little less ferocious. "Thorne, they do not enter the ship, and they do not take me with them. Understood? How far do I go?" "Don't kill any of them." "Don't kill. Yes, Captain." Her look said she wanted to yell at me, but she said nothing, turning back to the airlock controls. The inner door slid open, followed by the outer one. The 3 of them stepped forward to the line of the outer door, but remained inside the ship. I followed, but stayed behind them. The man waiting outside stepped up close, but stopped short of the bottom of the ramp, leaving plenty of room between him and Jenna. The size of her gun might have had something to do with it. "Lieutenant Commander, I am not," grated Jenna, "and have never been a Lieutenant Commander. What game are you playing at, Major?"
"No games, I assure you. You were promoted at the same time as you were recalled to duty."
"And when was this?" He quoted a date, which meant nothing to me, another of those things I hadn't bothered with yet.
"Bullshit. You know where I was on that date, Major."
"No. Where?"
"On the slave block, about to be sold to some corporate pig shit. The government denies buy slaves. Someone in the military organized it."
Give him some points. He looked totally confused, and more than a little shocked.
"You can prove this?"
"Which part?"
"All of it."
For a moment I thought she was going to shoot him. He did too, and he stepped back involuntarily. Not that the extra distance would have helped if she had.
"Not yet, but we will."
"That's a serious accusation."
"Only when I find the rat bastard it gets aimed at, and by then I'll have the proof to make it stick."
He opened his mouth to say something, but closed it again. Jenna didn't let him get the next word in.
"Tell me why I've not received notification of either the rank change or being recalled to duty. It should have been a priority message, which I'd have received when I picked up my emails the first time after it was sent. I didn't receive anything."
He pulled out his pad, hit a key, and started talking to someone quietly.
His expression darkened as the conversation went on. He put his pad away.
I don't understand this. There is no evidence of the notification getting through to this end of space, and yet my orders included a copy of it.
Someone didn't want me getting the notification, it seems. Perhaps it was the same person who sold me to the slavers.
Perhaps. It warrants investigation, anyway.
You do that, Major. Now, if you don't mind, I have cargo to offload.
Commander, I don't think you understand.
I understand perfectly. Do you?
Of course I do. I was briefed fully.
So you understand, a superior officer raped me, had his superiors cover it up, and send me to a back-of-nowhere command, where I'd never see a promotion again. I resigned my commission. I'm out, and I will not ever have anything to do with any organization which condones rape. I don't care if I've been recalled. I will not be coming back, not even if Captain Rapist is brought up on charges and flung out an airlock. He's now a junior admiral.
Fuck! No need to use such language, Commander.
I am not a fucking commander! The man seemed to sway back slightly, as the force of her statement washed over him. It wasn't me, either, although I'd been half tempted to knock him over. The team at his back, however, reacted to the outburst by raising their guns. The Major found his voice again.
Are you refusing to be recalled to active service?
Yes.
What about your friends?
What about them?
Are they refusing as well?
Are you fucking telling me all three of us are recalled?
Yes, of course.
I couldn't help it. I started laughing. For the record, said Jess, her voice sounding like metal, grating on metal. Neither of us received notifications either, and you're not recalling us either.
You all refuse.
I wondered how this man reached Major, let alone be some sort of troubleshooter. He seemed as thick as two short planks.
Of course we all do, grated Jenna. Then I'm afraid I must declare you to be deserters, and have the Marines here take you into custody.
Deserters? How do you work that out?
In times of war, refusal to be recalled is an act of desertion.
What war?
The brass think war is almost upon us, and are actively preparing for it.
So there is no war yet.
Not yet, but it will be soon.
You got that right, Major. There will be a war soon, but not the one the high muckety-mucks think there will be.
What war are you talking about?
The war on slavers and pirates, Major. The one which should be being waged by the military and isn't. Since you lot won't do anything, I will. I don't have time for your make-believe war. I have my own to fight.
You're not making any sense, Commander. There is no piracy to speak of, and slavery was banned hundreds of years ago, and the slavers wiped out.
The four of us glared at him. He looked at us one by one and saw the same expression each time.
You are misinformed, Major. There is a pirate station not all that far from here. It regularly holds slave auctions. We've been attacked by pirate ships a number of times now. You can't tell me there are no pirates. I know better. And how do you explain 6 dead Navy ships?
I've not received a report yet. My money is on pirates. Care for a wager?
Don't be silly. Gambling is not approved of in the military. You should know that. And stop trying to sidetrack me. If you won't come willingly, we'll have to take you by force.
Oh, please try.
Everyone looked at me. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Jenna actually grinned at me. Just for a moment, but it was a genuine grin. She looked back at the frowning Major.
You heard him. You will not board this ship, let alone take us anywhere.
Sergeant, arrest these people, please.
Sir, the sergeant started towards the ramp, the Major stepping back to one side to give them room. At the bottom of the ramp, the man walked smack into a force wall he couldn't see and went down hard. Half of the men did likewise. The Major looked appalled. Jenna had the last word. "Sorry, Major. This time it's you with the failed mission to report. Don't try to board this ship. You'll only get hurt, and I'd prefer no one was hurt. Good day to you." She slapped a button, and the outer door slid shut. She turned to me. "Can you put that magic wall around our entire cargo dock? We need cargo to be offloaded and into the station distribution system, but not let anyone in. Same up here." "No problem." We stepped back out of the airlock, and the inner door closed. Jenna brought up the screen again. The Major and his men were still there, apparently testing the strength of the wall. Jenna looked at me. I grinned. On the screen, all of them began to move backwards, slowly, causing several to lose their balance and fall, where they were simply pushed backwards until they could get up again. At the outer edge of the dock area, they stopped moving. "Good one, Thorn. Thanks. Can you hold them off until we can leave?" "No problems, as long as they don't start blowing the place up." "What happens if they do?" "Someone will get hurt. I set the wall to bounce anything which hits it back the way it came." "Ouch," said Jess. "Thorn?" "Yes, Jenna?"
"You can call me Jen."
42. You have to salute the military mentality. Or is it stupidity? They came back. By the time they left, the people-level docking bay was a ruin. Every nearby wall was scorched and holed, as was the deck outside my force wall. As I found out later, 3 soldiers ended up in intensive care, and none of them left without a scar of some kind. The energy needed to hold the wall up wasn't bothering me at all, and in fact, at the time, I was actually asleep. The magic to hold the walls continued without me needing to hold the intent all the time. The following day, unloading going steadily, I not only copied the station database, but the local military offices as well. The girls bypassed the security completely, and we had access to the messages being sent about us. "They think we've developed a new version of a ship shield," said Jess.
"Well, in a way we have," laughed Leah.
"I was afraid of that," said Jen. We all looked at her. "Another reason for them to come after us. They think we've made a tech advance. We haven't, but they don't know that. If they figure it's Thorn doing magic, he'll disappear into a hole somewhere while they try to figure out how he does what he does."
"Won't happen," I said happily.
"You can't say that, Thorn. Seriously, any action they take could potentially knock you out, and you wake up in a dark room somewhere."
"I'll light it up."
"They'd like you to do that, then want you to tell them how. I wouldn't be there long enough." The 3 of them actually seemed to care. I knew I was being flippant, but I was confident now. Even without a major source of energy, I could still escape anywhere. The worry, perhaps, would be how many died trying to stop me. But why dwell on such things? No, the real issue here was in escaping. I'd reveal what I really was. And once they worked it out, they'd never stop coming after me. Military mindset, after all. Acquire a better weapon at all costs. Better for me if it never happened. "We'll cross that bridge if it ever happens," I added, "and try hard to make sure it doesn't."
"Got that right," said Jess.
There were no further incidents before we undocked, but we had a shadow when we left. The courier undocked a half hour after us and tried to look like it was going where we were, completely by accident. Since it was a faster ship, it dawdling behind us was a dead giveaway. I whiled away the time by looking in on the crew of the courier. It wasn't altogether wasted time. I was trying to add sound to the display copy I could show my crew, but with no success. I had magic sight, but so far, no magic hearing. Leah sent me odd messages at times, reminding me she was about to enter her shower alone, or was otherwise naked in her room. I peeked the first time, but the memory of her with another woman was too strong, and her looking around trying to detect if I was actually looking or not finally convinced me peeking on your crew was a really bad idea. A couple on the courier were at it as often as they could, but even watching them palled, which was the point where I gave up on trying to hear as well, given what I suddenly realized I might actually end up hearing. No, not wanting to hear anything like that. I went back to my books and carefully made sure they didn't have sex scenes in them before losing myself in words. Having experienced the real thing now had taken the edge off reading about it. Mind you, if it didn't happen again any time soon, I could always change books. That's actually not as pathetic as it sounds. Between reading sessions, I mused about recent times and decided I was becoming an adult. Peeking at girls in the shower was a childish thing to do. Real men did no such thing. Mind you, there was some voice of doubt in the background as I remembered some of the already read books. Before we docked at the next station, I informed Leah, in a serious voice, I wasn't taking up her invitations. For a moment, she seemed disappointed, but the invitations stopped. The jump into the next destination was routine, but what showed on the nav map was anything but. "Frying pan into the fire," said Jen. 43. "And you brought us here because," I asked. "Because this is where Sasha is," said Jen, somewhat defensively, I thought. "And she is?" "The best," said Jess, and the three of them laughed. I could see I wasn't going to get an answer, so I shut up. The system was full of Navy ships. While not outright challenging us, but obviously aware we were coming, it felt like creeping in at home, hoping not to wake the Guardians. Around the only inhabited planet in this system were two stations rather than the normal one. According to Jess, the other one was military. We docked at the civilian one. Once again, there were military waiting at the airlock for us, but this time the girls went out through the airlock with grins on their faces, and I stood there watching hugs taking place. Jen waved me down. She indicated the smallest person there. "Thorn, this is Sasha. She's the Marine Lieutenant for this lot. Sasha, this is Thorn. We owe him big time for saving us from slavers." A tiny hand shot out towards me, and I took it in mine, and we shook. "That's high praise from Jen. You look ordinary to me, but then, so do I. I'll take her word for it. You're more than you look." I looked around at all the grins, and figured I was talking to the most lethal person in this lethal-looking group. Her grip was firm, much more so than I expected just looking at her. "Nice to meet you," I managed to stammer, causing grins to become laughs. "Where do we crash?" "Leah will show you where," said Jen. "The ship has had a few modifications since you last saw it. You get a barracks to yourselves this trip." "Lead on, my lovely." I watched as they made their way up the ramp and into the ship. It was a mixed group, but two-thirds were women. Ages ranged from mid-twenties up to late-thirties. The male sergeant even had gray in his hair, yet Sasha was clearly no older than Jen was. They were all loaded down with very heavy-looking bags, and yet the movement of them was clearly not even a thought process, let alone a burden to them. Jen waited until they were all aboard before turning to me. "Same protection as last time, Thorn. I was expecting trouble, but it appears someone is paying attention and didn't want two units to face off in the dock." How would they know such a thing would happen? Any good commander would. Marine units are very loyal to each other, and in this case, Sasha is very loyal to me. Even if a superior was to order them to confront us, the lieutenant is going to know Sasha would support me. No one is going to start that fight without needing to. I don't get it. Let me put it this way, then. Sasha and her unit are on leave for the next few weeks. Marines on leave tend to be loose cannons, but Sasha is a much bigger cannon because her unit act as one, all the time, and they know it. If they trigger Sasha, there will be blood on the deck. Fortunately, no one local is stupid enough to try it, even if they got the orders to try. She doesn't look like much. Neither do you. Point. I renewed the force walls, like last time, and nodded to her. She nodded back and headed back inside the ship. I followed and slapped the button to close the airlock. Back in my living area, I was surprised when one of the Marines walked in. Bags funked to the deck, making a solid metal-on-metal noise. She looked around, and finally her eyes settled on me. "Got banished, did ya?" The grin behind the words took the sting out of them. Something like that. I looked from her to her bags and back again. "You too?" "Hell no. I like my own company, and since we are officially on leave, and this piece of shit has more accommodation than's being used, I figured I'd use it away from the others while I had the chance." I gave her a speculative look. "And you came here anyway?" "Don't follow. There are two other sets of accommodation not being used at all, yet you come here where there is partial usage." She held up her hands, palms out in front, and let her grin loose. "Got me there. The boss tells me we'll be spending some time together in your bridge, so I might as well crash nearby. I'm Tasha, gunnery specialist. Apparently this tub has missiles now, and I get to play with them. We'll set up a proper weapons console on your bridge. Jen doesn't want it on her bridge. Oh. So, where do I bunk?"
"Wherever you want."
Her grin was strangely entrancing. "I assume you have the captain's digs?" I nodded. "Then show me the XOs." I led her out. It was a strange thing. She didn't look strong enough to carry those bags. Until she'd picked them up, that is, the muscles in her arms changed as she did so. Actually, it wasn't only the arms. It was like every muscle in her body changed from attractive female into obsessive bodybuilder. It was a bit bewildering, and I tried to keep it off my face as I led her to the XO's cabin. I waved her inside, and once again the bags clunked down on the deck. She went back to being an attractive girl again. Her eyes cast around, saw the door into the bathroom, walked over to it, and peered inside. "This'll do." Before I knew it, her uniform was on the floor, and with her back turned to me, her singlet and boxers came off as well. My eyes followed her arse into the bathroom. The water came on, and I fled the room, making sure the door was shut after me. There was a low chuckle from behind me. 44. "What's the plan, boss?" Sasha was looking at Jen. Actually, everyone was. The Marines were all in civvies now, and everyone was lounging in the common area of their part of the ship. Civvies didn't change the way they looked. They were lethal-looking, and probably would still look that way naked. I shied away from that thought and paid attention to Jen like the rest of them. "We have several objectives. The primary objective is to find where Thorn came from and deliver him home." This wasn't what they expected. "In order to do so, we need to backtrack him, and this means we need to find the pirate ship which took him and get access to its navigation logs. We know the station they dock at, and we'll take the opportunity to burn out every pirate and slaver on that miserable chunk of metal." Now they were smiling. I looked around their faces and concluded mayhem and slaughter were exactly what Marines liked to do on vacation. What passes for a police force on the station will no doubt object, so they'll have to be neutralized. Teeth flashed. But first, we need to liberate some armament for the ship, from the local ordnance depot. She was looking at Tasha now. You're not stocked with missiles? We are, said Jess, but we could use some upgrades. The pirate crap we have on board wouldn't cut it if we had to take on a military ship. Is that likely? Asked Sasha. Possible, answered Jen. If that piece of shit who did me gets in our way, we might need to take him out. There was a stirring around the room. No problem, said Sasha. We thrashed this out and determined if he was ever in our crossfire, he wouldn't survive it. What? She was looking at me, and my face must have been showing my surprise. Leah laughed. Thorne doesn't understand the politics within the military, she said. My face changed, and not for having clarification. Don't worry about it, she said to me. It'll probably never happen. That shithead never lets himself get into actual combat. I nodded, still not understanding, but accepting the level of commitment here. Jen looked at Tasha. I want you to show Thorne what sort of automatic turrets we can mount and where. Before we leave, we'll take one from the depot. Looks became puzzled. No, you don't need to worry about it. Thorne will handle it. Jess will do the installing. Tasha just needs to do a console for all the weapons once they're online. She looked around the room and sighed. We have a secret weapon, she said, and looked over to me. Thorne, they'll all need a ship suit. You'll find the basics in the nearest storeroom to here. I cast around and found what she meant, rolls of material and everything needed to duplicate suits. I looked back at her, eyes asking if she really wanted a demonstration. She nodded. I looked at Sasha, eyes going head to foot, measuring her, and for a moment she went rigid as if I was threatening her. Jen's hand touched her arm, and she relaxed. The next instant, a ship suit appeared in front of her, folded neatly. Unknown to anyone but me, three more appeared on her bed. My eyes moved on, and one by one, in dead silence, I repeated it for each of them. When I finished, no one moved for several minutes, all eyes on me. Finally, Tasha rose, stripped off her civvies, flicked out her folded ship suit, and stepped into it, zipping it up enough but leaving some cleavage showing. It fit her like a glove. She grinned at me and sat. How? Asked Sasha. Magic, I answered, grinning. Jen, Jess, and Leah were also grinning. At that moment, there was a major rattle at the back of my mind. I rose, crossed to the wall screen, and brought up the loading dock. Some sort of vehicle was overturned some distance from my force wall, as if it had hit it at speed and bounced several times backwards before crashing into a wall. The area around it was littered with fallen soldiers. "Also magic?" asked Tasha, with a glint in her eyes. I nodded. I think we're going to like you, said Sasha. 45. Some of Sasha's team went out to help with the wounded. I changed the intent of the force wall so they could come and go as they pleased, but no one else could. Jen looked a little stunned. Seemed she was wrong. Not only were the orders being given, they were being followed. From one of the soldiers outside, we learned there was significant pressure coming down from above to bring us in. Tasha followed me back to my bridge and began putting a weapons console together. The basic missile-firing stuff was already set up, but she took one look at it, made a rude noise, and began a new one from scratch. I remote-viewed the outside of the ship, putting it on Leah's screen. Tasha noticed after a while. I didn't know you had any cam bots. We don't. So what is that? The outside of the ship. Well, I can see that. How? Remote viewing. I can see that. How? Another form of magic. Tell me where you'd mount auto-turrets, as it shows on the screen. It took a half hour, but we made a note of where we could mount turrets and how big they could be. Apparently they came in sizes, because we had notes for 3 different ones in 12 places. "How are we going to acquire them?" she asked me. "Pull up the military station layout, please." She looked at me. "You do know it's classified to military personnel only, don't you?" "I figured it. But we copied their database while you lot were unpacking. You'll find the layout in our database with all the other stations we've been to." I received another long look before she did as I asked, and the main level layout was on another screen. "Where's the ordnance depot?" The map shifted several levels down the station and highlighted most of the middle of 2 levels. Alongside was the small dockyard and its half dozen docks. I closed my eyes and shifted my sight. "What the... Oh, same principle?" "Yes." On the screen, it was like a cam was rolling down the middle of a wide corridor, but with a lens which allowed her to see the signage on each side row. "Stop. Turn left." I turned left. "Stop. That one on the left." The crate was huge. "Are you sure?" "Yes. That's the biggest this ship can handle." I concentrated, drawing on the ship's power. The crate vanished.
"Thorn, you pillock! Tell me when you're about to do that!"
Leah sounded a mite upset. Tasha looked confused until she saw the empty space over on the station. Her eyes widened. I began moving my sight again to the end of the row and up the other side and down the next.
"That one!"
"Doing it again!" I yelled as loud as I could and moved the next crate, which was smaller. Tasha grinned this time. "Any idea where the small ones are?" I asked her. "2 rows down again?" Her guess proved to be accurate. I bellowed once again, and the 3rd crate appeared down in the main cargo hold. "How many did we want of each?" She told me, and I concentrated again. This time I was slightly dizzy when I finished. Tasha looked confused again. "Missiles?" I asked. It took us longer to find the missiles we wanted, and after bellowing to keep clear of the magazines, much longer for me to swap them one by one. I wasn't game to try doing more than one at a time, in case something went wrong.
"Done!"
I yelled finally, and turned back to Tasha. "You'd better go tell Jess and Leah where the new turrets go, so they can program the bots to install them once we're clear of anyone who might think it odd us arming up by ourselves."
"And you'll be doing?"
"Sleep. It may not have looked it, but that was hard work." She gave me another long look as I walked out, not all too steady on my feet. My right temple was throbbing by the time I reached my bed. I diverted to my pack for a tablet, took it with a water bottle I kept there for the purpose, and was asleep as soon as my head hit the pillow.
46. The wonder was, we unloaded our cargo and loaded another one. The local military tried several more times to board us, including attempting to use the cargo loading system. When that failed, they spacewalked a platoon to every airlock we had. It didn't work any better for them, and actually cost lives this time. By the time we were ready to undock, even Jen was looking worried. Everyone strapped in wherever they could, with Tasha and several others with me. Her console was dark. When I glanced at it, she shrugged. We still only had missiles, and the one thing we didn't want to do was fire them here. When Jen requested undocking clearance, the same major as before appeared on the screen. He repeated the order for the 3 girls to surrender themselves. Jen didn't even dignify it with an answer, flipping back to the station controller's channel. Needless to say, we didn't get our clearance. "Okay, Thorn, you know what to do." I concentrated for a moment, and the station docking clamps vanished.
Jen had the thrusters pushing us away within seconds, and the ship moved away from the station at a speed not normally allowed. As soon as she could do so safely, she stopped, twirled the ship, and began thrusting out system. "Isn't this the wrong way?" asked Sasha. "Yes," said Jen, "but there are a number of routing options from here, and I'm not showing this lot where we're really going." "Why not?" I asked. "If we lead them to the pirates, we won't need to do anything ourselves." "You'd think so," said Jess, "but no. Somewhere up the chain of command is someone in league with them, and as soon as we opened fire, the Navy would start protecting them outright on the basis it was a legit station."
"Oh, so we do it the hard way?"
"That's why we're here," said Sasha.
"Going to be harder than we thought," muttered Jen.
"Oh, shit!" exclaimed Leah. One of the screens changed view, and I could see a tactical view of the system now, or at least that portion we could see with our scanners. Every Navy ship had now changed course and was coming towards, or after, us. Everyone watched in silence for a while. After a bit, I noticed the ships were not boosting at the same rates, and shortly after, realized they were aiming to have as many ships as possible converge on us about halfway to the jump point. I had no idea how many missile launchers and turrets they mounted, but I did a rough guess and did the math.
"You okay, Thorn?" asked Tasha.
"Sorry, what?"
"You've gone white."
"I probably had." The courier came up behind us, and the Major was suddenly on the screen again. He implored us to stop and be boarded, but Jen didn't even bother answering him, instead pushing as much power into the engines as she could and opening a gap. The courier matched our speed and more, slipping back into position behind us.
"Should we be preparing for boarding?" asked Sasha.
"No," responded Jen. "We're not stopping for anything."
"And if they fire on us?" asked someone over the comms.
"We'll deal with it."
No pressure. I still didn't like the math. There were enough ships converging on us to throw hundreds of missiles per salvo, and maybe more, and keep throwing them the whole way to the jump point. I started to worry about how much energy I could draw on.
"Jess?"
"Yes, Thorn?
I think I'm going to need a lot more."
"How much more?"
"As much as you can get me."
"On it."
I could feel Tasha's eyes on me, but neither of us said anything, and as the minutes passed, I could feel more and more power become available to me. There were clangs around the ship as airtight bulkheads shut. A ship schematic popped up, showing only three areas of the ship which still had life support and gravity. The cargo remained where it was, but the normal gravity holding everything down was dialed way down. The two smaller engines died, and we lost a small amount of speed, resulting in the courier nearly hitting us. Speed wasn't going to save us here anyway, since a third of the ships intercepting us were ahead of us. The power generators synced up with mine, along with the unused shield generators and everything except the missile launchers. I breathed in power and let it flow through me. There was an indrawn breath from behind me, and I noticed all the hairs on my arm were standing on end. I concentrated on my breathing, as for the next few hours we kept on our course and the ring of ships around us drew closer.
"Limitations?" I finally asked into the silence.
"Defense only," said Jen. "I know this is going to suck big time, but if we kill one of them, they'll never stop chasing us." I admired her optimism. The only way out of this, if they started firing on us, was to cause a lot of damage, and if we did, they would, as she said, never stop chasing us. But I couldn't see an alternative. This number of ships coming after us wherever we went was not a winning strategy. We'd pick up others everywhere as well, and the odds would just keep getting worse. I had to wonder if Jen had really thought it through properly.
"Everyone brace for combat," said Jen, in a voice which gave no emotion away at all.
Maybe that was why she was in command, not so much for any tactical ability, since she was leaving the defense solely in my hands, but because she could project command presence and supreme confidence in our ability to get out of this. As I said, no pressure. The first missiles launched, and within a minute